You know that feeling when you suddenly get just this massive burst of
The
motivation?
classic midnight inspiration.
Yeah, exactly. You're lying in bed and you set this huge life-altering goal. You buy all the books, you download like three different productivity apps, you completely overhaul your morning routine, and then
Let me guess. Almost like clockwork, 2 weeks later, you're sitting right back exactly where you started.
right, you're right back to square one. And it happens to everyone, but the immediate aftermath is always just this wave of guilt.
Oh, heavily. You tell yourself you just don't have enough discipline, or, you're just inherently lazy.
Which makes you wonder, right? Why does the desire to change your life so often feel like just another form of cheap dopamine? I mean, you get the rush of planning the change, but there is zero follow-through.
Yeah, the planning feels like you're actually doing the work, but you're not.
Exactly. And the answer to why we do this actually lies in the hidden architecture of your own mind. So today we're doing a deep dive into decoding that architecture. We're looking at the origins of self-sabotage, the actual mechanical process of true change, and how you can actually rewrite your mental programming.
And we are synthesizing a really fascinating stack of material to get to the bottom of this. We've got the practical methodology of Magnetic Mind founder Chris Duncan, the deeply philosophical frameworks of the mind architect Peter Crone.
Which is incredible stuff, by the way.
It really is. And we're also pulling from the stark evolutionary psychology concepts from content creator Dan Coe. So it's a really diverse mix of viewpoints.
It is. And let's just set the tone right up front here. We are not here to pitch you a coaching program.
Right, no sales pitches.
Yeah, we're just here to extract the psychology behind these methods because
Got
the
it.
underlying mechanics of why we do what we do are just mind-blowing. And once you understand the actual gears turning in your head, you can start applying these principles to your own life today.
Absolutely. So before we figure out how to rewrite our programming, I think we really need to ask, why does the brain fight so fiercely to stay exactly the same?
Yeah, why the resistance?
Well, Dan Coe's analysis provides a really great starting point for this. He introduces this concept that the mind is fundamentally just a survival machine. But we have to separate physical survival from psychological survival. Because your physical survival instincts, they just keep your body breathing, right? They tell you to run from a physical threat or to find food.
Basic biology stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But your psychological survival instincts are entirely focused on keeping your identity alive.
And by identity, you mean like the non-physical stuff, the ideas, the beliefs, the worldview that shape who you think you are.
Right, who you believe yourself to be. And Coe uses an evolutionary framework to explain how that identity is built. Because just like your body is constructed by genes, which, just want to survive and replicate,
Yeah.
your mind is constructed by memes.
And we're not talking about funny cat pictures on the internet here.
No, not internet jokes. We're talking about memes in the original evolutionary sense that Richard Dawkins coined. They are units of culture and belief that spread from mind to mind.
Right, like the rules you learned from your parents.
Exactly. Or the subtle beliefs you absorb from your teachers, the societal expectations of success, all of that. These memes act exactly like genes inside your head. Their singular goal is to survive, persist, and replicate.
Okay, let me try to make that tangible for the listener. It's almost like owning a beautiful house, right? But for the first 20 years of your life, you just leave the front door wide open.
Oh, I like this.
Yeah, so you let 100 strangers walk in, they eat your food, and they completely redecorate the place. And those strangers are other people's beliefs and societal conditioning.
Right.
And suddenly you wake up one day and you're standing in the living room aggressively defending a house that isn't even yours to begin with.
That is a brilliant way to look at it. You are fiercely protecting the stranger's furniture. And because those memes naturally want to survive, they absolutely do not want you to change the layout. Any attempt to fundamentally change who you are,
To throw out the old furniture.
right, any attempt to do that is perceived by these memes as a literal threat to their existence.
Which perfectly brings Peter Crone's philosophy into the picture here, because he argues that the root of all human suffering is that we misidentify with this separate self.
Right, this constructed identity made entirely of borrowed meme.
Exactly. And Crone makes a really bold assertion here. He says there are no actual problems in our circumstances. There is only our resistance to those circumstances.
Which is a tough pill to swallow for a lot of people.
It is, because it means the problem isn't your bank account balance or, you know, a career setback. The suffering actually comes from the gap between the reality of the circumstance and the rigid identity you're desperately trying to protect.
So when you try to change, let's say you decide you're going to wake up at 5 a.m. and become a highly disciplined entrepreneur.
Right.
Your current identity, which is probably built on being comfortable and avoiding risk, feels like it's literally under attack. So your ego starts throwing up massive roadblocks.
Because your brain's fear center, the amygdala, doesn't really easily distinguish between a threat to your physical body and a threat to your psychological identity.
Yes. So. When you try to radically change your life, your mind just triggers a full-blown fight-or-flight response.
Yeah.
You get flooded with irrational fear or intense imposter syndrome or just an overwhelming urge to go back to bed.
Yeah.
Your old identity is essentially fighting for its life.
Okay, let's unpack this for a second. If my unconscious mind is basically a heavily armed fortress defending this stolen furniture, this outdated identity, how do I actually breach the walls?
Because clearly, attacking it head on with sheer willpower just triggers that massive fight or flight response we just talked about.
Right. I mean, sheer force just makes the resistance stronger. So how does this work?
Well, this is where we get into the core mechanism of Chris Duncan's magnetic mind methodology. The foundational premise of his work is just a complete paradigm shift away from the traditional self-help industry. His core message is simply this: you are not broken.
Wait, hang on. I want to challenge that, because the traditional personal development world is like utterly obsessed with fixing things.
Oh, completely.
We're constantly told we have to dig into our past, find our childhood traumas, analyze all our limiting beliefs, and, you know, heal our inner child before we can even take a step forward. Are we just sweeping all of our past traumas under the rug here and gaslighting ourselves into thinking everything is fine?
No, it's really not about ignoring the past. What's fascinating here is understanding a psychological mechanism called structural tension.
Okay, structural tension.
Yeah. Think of structural tension like a rubber band stretched between two poles. One pole is where you are right now, and the other pole is where you want to be. The traditional self-help model anchors one end of that rubber band to your past traumas. So if you spend all your time digging up the past to figure out why you're broken, what identity are you constantly reinforcing?
Oh, wow. I see. You're reinforcing the identity of someone who is fundamentally broken.
Exactly. You're constantly feeding the "I need to be fixed" meme.
So no matter how much you stretch toward a goal, the tension always snaps you right back to being the person with the problem.
That is the trap.
Yeah.
You validate the very identity you're trying to escape.
That's incredible.
Right. So the magnetic mind method pivots entirely away from fixing and moves into pure creation. It connects with what Duncan calls the superconscious.
Now that sounds a little bit mystical.
It does sound a bit out there, yeah.
Yeah.
But in this framework, it simply refers to the part of your mind capable of holding a vision of an end result without getting bogged down in the how or the fears of the subconscious.
Okay, so instead of trying to resolve the past, you basically build a new anchor. You focus purely on creating a new end result.
Right. It relies heavily on scientifically backed concepts like neuroplasticity and epigenetics.
Which means what exactly for the listener?
Well, in layman's terms, neuroplasticity is just your brain's ability to wire new neural pathways based on repeated focus. And epigenetics shows us that our environment and our perceptions can actually change how our genes express themselves.
Right.
By using autosuggestion, meaning repeatedly directing your focus toward the reality you want to create, you build a new structural tension.
So you create a new identity that pulls you forward rather than letting the old identity drag you backward.
Exactly.
I'm deducing something wild from this. If I genuinely adopt the identity of the person who has already achieved the goal, the survival instinct flips.
Right.
Like if I truly identify as a highly disciplined, healthy person, if that meme takes root and becomes my dominant identity, my mind will now actually feel threatened by the idea of eating junk food.
You've hit the nail on the head.
It will view sitting on the couch all day as an existential threat to who I am.
Yeah, you're weaponizing your own survival instinct in your favor. Effortless self-discipline happens when the desire to become your highest self outweighs the comfort of your lowest self.
Right.
You're training your brain to be terrified of mediocrity rather than terrified of change. You stop fighting yourself and you simply act in alignment with your new identity.
The theory makes perfect sense. I mean, it's brilliant. But let's get into the mechanics of this. What does this actually look like in practice? How does a person execute this so-called recode in the real world without just sitting in a dark room wishing really hard?
Yeah, it's not just wishful thinking. The process usually involves guided meditations, specific intention-setting frameworks, and a technique called the rapid recode.
And what's the purpose of the rapid recode?
The main goal is to bypass the conscious doubting mind.
You mean that annoying voice in your head that immediately says, yeah, right, you can't do this. How do you actually bypass that?
By altering your brainwave states. Through guided relaxation, you move from the active analytical beta brainwave state into alpha or theta states. In those slower states, your critical faculty, that doubting voice, basically goes offline.
Wow.
Yeah, and this allows you to communicate directly with the deeper layers of your mind to rewrite those unconscious instructions without your ego throwing up a firewall.
The source material provides some incredible real-world evidence of this working. The one that completely blew my mind was the live session Peter Krohn did with a woman named Lena.
Oh, that's a powerful example.
It really is. So she's a Ukrainian singer, and she carried this deep, paralyzing fear of singing or even just speaking up in public.
And Krohn traced the origin of her problem back to a very, very specific moment.
Yeah.
When she was 3 years old in Ukraine, she was performing for her family, and her mother shamed her because she wasn't pronouncing the letter R correctly.
Just think about that for a second. In that single moment, at 3 years old, her mind created a meme to protect her from the pain of rejection. And the meme was, "It is not safe to be me." And she built an entire 40-year identity around that single instruction. She hid her voice, she played small, she experienced intense physical anxiety anytime she tried to step into the spotlight.
But look at how Krohn handled it in the session. He didn't spend months unpacking the deep emotional trauma of her mother's comment.
No, he didn't.
He simply guided Lena to see that the identity itself was a structural illusion. He asked her, "If I cut you open, am I going to find a manufacturing label inside you that says, born in Ukraine, it is not safe to be me?"
Which just forces the brain to short circuit. I mean, of course the answer is no. It only existed as a string of words in her head. It wasn't a physical reality.
Right. And by proving it wasn't a physical object, he broke the mental illusion.
It's amazing.
The moment Lena realized the identity was just a label she had agreed to wear, she instantly accessed this feeling of being limitless.
Yeah.
She literally described it as feeling like she was on a substance.
Yeah, just pure expansive lightness, because the heavy defensive identity had just completely evaporated.
It vanished.
I really want you, the listener, to pause here. Just think about the labels you're wearing right now. What manufacturing label have you convinced yourself is permanently etched into your bones?
Yeah, things like, "I'm bad with money," or "I'm an anxious person."
Exactly. "I'm not a finisher." This mechanism proves those are just borrowed furniture.
And it applies far beyond overcoming childhood embarrassment, too. It maps directly onto wealth creation and business.
Oh, absolutely. The sources highlight Stephanie, who is a creative business owner, and she was totally trapped in what she called the comfort zone cycle.
Right. She wanted to hit those $10,000 to $20,000 months in her business.
Desperately. But every time she set the goal, her mind would sabotage her. She'd feel like an imposter. She would delay launching. And this is the kicker. She would buy yet another how-to marketing workshop, convincing herself she just needed a better strategy.
Which is such a classic ego defense. The ego provides a productive feeling distraction, like taking a course, to avoid the true threat of actually stepping into a new identity.
Think about your own life right now. What strategy are you endlessly researching just to avoid actually taking the leap?
We all do it.
We really do. For Stephanie, during the pandemic quarantine, she finally stopped buying the strategy courses. She applied these exact mind reprogramming principles we're talking about. She shifted her structural tension.
So instead of trying to fix her marketing, she started creating the identity of someone who effortlessly earns that money.
Exactly. And by changing her internal code, she paid off $17,000 in debt and started consistently hitting those massive income months. She didn't change her external strategy. She changed her internal identity.
And we see this working across all domains. The sources also mention Emmy Hernandez, who uses this exact recode method to help her clients find soulmates.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. It proves the mechanism is universal. Whether it's wealth, health, or relationships, your external reality is largely reflecting your internal structural tension.
So knowing how this works under the hood, who actually stands to benefit the most from this approach?
Well, the methodology is heavily tailored for people hitting invisible ceilings, like entrepreneurs who can't seem to break past a certain revenue mark, no matter how many hours they work.
Right.
Or corporate workers battling chronic stress and burnout because they're operating out of fear and obligation.
Yeah.
And really, anyone paralyzed by imposter syndrome.
So people who are just stuck.
Yeah. It's designed to shift you from an exhausting state of force, where you're white-knuckling your way through life, to a state of power, where your actions naturally flow from who you are.
Now, let's take a step back and look at this impartially. The creators of Magnetic Mind offer these massive online universities, weekly live sessions, and full certification programs.
True.
And some of those mastery-level certifications can run up to $20,000.
Yeah, it's a significant financial investment, reflecting the premium tier of the coaching market they operate in.
But here is the crucial takeaway for you listening right now. You do not need to drop 20 grand to start applying the psychology of conscious education today. The understanding of memes, the awareness of your survival mechanism, the choice to stop fixing and start creating, those are cognitive tools you can use right now for free.
Absolutely. You can shift your own structural tension by simply becoming aware of the labels you're defending.
Exactly. Though I will say, if you're someone who feels you need a guide to navigate the rapid recode technique, you don't necessarily have to jump into a massive corporate university. There are certified practitioners operating independently all over the world.
Right, localized options.
Yeah. Just as an example, if you're based down here in New Zealand, you might look up someone like Greg Jones. Finding a local certified practitioner is a really accessible way to experience the modality one-on-one without completely breaking the bank.
That's a very practical way to approach it.
Mm.
But regardless of whether you seek out a local guide or do the internal work yourself, the first step requires total honesty.
It really does.
So, to you listening, where in your life are you absolutely exhausting yourself by trying to fix a problem rather than simply choosing to create a new reality? Where are you fighting your own survival mechanism?
Because if you're just repeating yesterday on autopilot, endlessly arguing with your own limitations, you're just feeding the very memes that are keeping you stuck.
Yeah. If we pull all of this together, the architecture of your mind is actually brilliant. I mean, it's perfectly designed to keep you safe.
It's just running outdated software.
Exactly. It's a survival machine protecting an identity that you probably outgrew a decade ago.
You are not broken. There is no manufacturing label inside of you that dictates your future. The key to true transformation isn't waging a war against your past. It's aligning your focus with the exact future you want to create, moving the anchor of your structural tension, and just letting your mind naturally pull you toward it.
And I want to leave you with a final provocative thought inspired by Dan Coe's philosophy.
Oh, let's hear it.
We spend so much of our lives terrified of the pain of failure. We fear the discomfort of the unknown, of trying something new and falling flat on our faces. But what if you flipped the script?
Okay.
What if you trained your brain to realize that the absolute most terrifying outcome isn't failing at your new goal, but succeeding at remaining exactly who you are today?
Wow. Succeeding at remaining exactly who you are today. That is a heavy one to sit with. Take a look at the memes living rent-free in your mind this week and ask yourself if they're paying their way or just taking up space in a house that belongs to you. Catch you on the next deep dive.